This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey everyone, it's Brad and Matt, because Aaron is on some bougie road trip, man. I mean, you know, we don't get to do that stuff. He's out with the Porsches and Ferraris, but now he's having fun cruising through the hills somewhere, and we're about to bring you episode 436 of Shift and Steer. Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Thank you. Aaron's doing his rally, his annual rally. He and Misha go. And is he doing it in the Morgan? I don't know what he's driving on the rally this time.
Yeah, he's got
the Morgan, then the Mini.
Yeah, he showed a picture on his feed of the Morgan, and he said that it was windy and warm. So
yeah,
he must have left where he lives, because it doesn't get windy and warm up there.
You know, but I thought like a week ago was the Quail motorcycle event. You know, during Monterey Car Week, we do the car event, but I haven't been to the motorcycle event. And a friend was bringing a bike up there to show, and it was kind of a bust. I think it rained, so everyone kind of just went inside of the bar and had cocktails, and that was
You can do that. It's just at the end, you can drink, you know?
And I didn't think about that, because, I mean, it's been a little gloomy out here, but we didn't get rain, and I didn't think about, was the Quail motorcycle event going to get rain? But unfortunately, it sounds like it did.
Well, it looks like from the things I've seen Aaron post that they're having good weather. So that's good for them. And they're a little behind the thing. But I want to start the show right off with a complaint here.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it down. You know, we'll bring it up from this point. But Hertz rental car.
I heard something about Hertz.
They bought 100,000 Teslas. They ordered 100,000 Teslas. Now we've heard, we talked about it on a previous show, that they were dropping them all because nobody rents them. But did you hear, is it what you heard, that the guy at LAX that rented a Tesla Model 3, excuse me?
Yeah,
and
he got a big charge.
Yeah, poor guy. You know, he was like one of their big card holding, you know, regular customers. He rents, and he said, well, I'm renting this car, and I'll just, you know, do it where I bring it back full. And on his paperwork, it showed that now I brought this up on a previous show that I rented a Tesla to drive out to Thermal Raceway.
Yeah.
And I found out that just like a regular rental car, you have to bring it back full, or at least in my case, I rented it at 80% charge, so it had to come back 80% charged, or they charge you $35 to charge it back up.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of a drag, because, you know, it's like you rent a car like that, you've had to charge it up while you had it. Really? They have chargers there. They can't plug it in when it comes back. But whatever. I did it, brought it back, as did this gentleman.
Let me tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is the number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. You get the latest odds and lines, including team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. Yes, and the $35 is supposed to be the cap. So that Hertz will say, we'll charge you up to $35, but no more, is how I understood it.
No less than $25,
I guess.
Is how I understood it, yes.
Yeah.
So okay. So anyways, this guy rents one, brings it back. His paperwork said that he brought it back fully charged. But Matt, what did they do to this poor guy?
They charged him the refueling cost
of $277.
Yeah, $277, which is kind of odd because also, what does it cost to fuel up a car? Even well, at the Hertz, you know, prices.
Dude, have you ever looked at it? It says if we have to fill your car up, like at the Orange County Airport, it's like $14.50 a gallon. I mean, because they don't have pumps there. So they literally have to pay some guy to drive off the property, go fill it up, and then bring it back. So that's why they charge so much. So, they charged him to refuel the Tesla. And we all know that there's no reason to refuel a Tesla, Matt. It's not necessary.
Guess this guy's having trouble. Like, they're not refunding his money. They don't seem to care. They're like, you signed a rental agreement. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I returned it. He said he rented it at a 96% charge, returned it at a 96% charge. And even then, if they wanted to charge him for the last 4%, it's a maximum of $35. Right. I just don't know how he's getting stuck with this.
You said you wanted the refueling service. We did it. And now you're complaining. And this guy's like, but there is no refueling service on a Tesla.
Yeah.
And so it's just another one of these things where people can't see past the end of their nose. I mean, it would be so easy to go, oh, yeah, but the person at the counter probably doesn't know how to do an override code, or they've never put it in their system, whatever. It's just ridiculousness.
It's things like this that are kind of frustrating, because someone on the other end doesn't just go, yeah, you're right. This doesn't seem right at all. This seems weird to me. You know, like, why are we charging you this for an electric car? Like, what's going on?
Well, I'm going to say this will set a precedence, Matt, that if they get away with it, at the end of the year, when you do your taxes, you should be able to write off all the fuel that you've put in your Lightning truck for a business use. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, if you throw that on there and go, yeah, I had several thousand dollars worth of fuel because I was delivering Bravago to a liquor store, or I was, you know, going to a meet or something like that.
It's funny that you bring this up. This wasn't planned. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but 2 days ago, I literally did that. I was delivering Bravago to a store. I was down in Huntington Beach, where we were getting it into, here's the plug, we're getting into 5 total wine stores in Southern California, Huntington Beach, Redondo.
Oh, that's why you sent me that several thousand dollars to go in and buy them out.
Yeah. Culver City, Redondo, Huntington Beach, Long Beach, and then there's one in San Diego. The San Diego one is the Carmel Mountain, California location, the Carmel Mountain Road. And I needed to charge
Caramel Mountain Road.
I don't think so. I needed to charge the truck, and on my app, there was like a Chase Bank that had one of the quick chargers, and I saw on the phone it said there was a charger available. So I went over there and I plugged it in. Those quick chargers are, if you haven't used those yet, they're kind of intense. Like, you can hear the power come through the line. I'm like, I fear for my health when with that much electricity going through it, and it starts buzzing on and
Matt's ears start glowing.
So I sat there and I got something like 70 miles of added range. You know, I had like 30 and I left and I had like 100. It took like 10 minutes of charge. And it charged me $25. Right. And I was kind of doing the math on this going, let's see. I added about 70 miles of range. If I had a, you know, I don't know, a small car that got 200, maybe 250 miles of range out here, filling it up with gas, would it be $100 to fill it up with gas? Because if I added about 70 miles of range, if you filled up a car to about 240 miles of range, it's, you know, it's four times. So my $25 would be $100. I'm like, does it cost $100 to fill up, you know, to get 250 miles, 240 miles of?
Well, use my Yukon XL as an example. If I,
and what do you put in it? Do you put 91 or you put like 87?
I put regular in it.
Regular in 87. Yeah.
And I filled it up just the other day and it was almost completely empty. It has a 35 gallon tank.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
And I put 33¾, you know, in it. And because there's one gas station I like to go to because my wife shops at Ralph's and she gets triple points if she grocery shops on Fridays. And the triple points means you get $1 a gallon off.
Yeah, so you're still paying $4.99.
Yeah, and then I do the app on my phone, which is called Gas Up or Fuel Up, or let me look.
It's, yeah, there's one called Gas Buddy, and there's one called Upside.
Upside, yeah, Upside.
Yeah, Upside, yeah, and I use that too.
And that one gives me another, like, whatever the gas station's offering, and this one gas station by my office is like 25 cents a gallon. So I'm getting $1.25 off. That's worth it. And yeah, I filled up, and even with that $1.25 off, dude, it was $230. And that, in my truck, that'll get me about 300 miles. So
$230. Yeah, it seems a little high, 230, if you put 30 gallons in, but.
No, 35 gallons.
Yeah. It seems,
well, let's look.
Yeah, it seems like that's be like $6.50 a gallon.
Well, it's expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah.
Let's look. It was,
but I charging up,
it was a lot of fucking money. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I was just thinking about it. It's like, hey, you know, I charging an electric vehicle, like on the fast charger here in LA, for what they charge per kilowatt, is it comes out to be like filling up your car with gas. It's not cheaper.
It's not
really cheaper to do it. Now, if you can find a free charger, or if you charge at home, it, you know, and there's some discount program, or even at some businesses they offer it, it's just like you can kind of get away with that. So I, you know, whenever possible, I try to find some sort of free charger. But yeah,
Oh, you're right. It was $25. No, I'm kidding. I did exaggerate. It was $165.23.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's a lot. But listen, I sat there and I was like, I sat there for 10 minutes. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a little longer than what it would take to fill up your car with gas. I added 70 miles of range. And I was like, $25. I was like, I need to leave. I need to get out of here because I'm not really used to paying it. I don't hit up many public chargers. I did stop at another store, and it was in kind of a shopping mall complex, and they had a free charger there, which I can plug into, but it was the slow charger. And by the time I like went into the store and walked around, I got out and I got 5 miles of range. I was like, I don't have time to sit here all day. Once you plug it in, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, your car will be fully charged at 2:30. In the morning. And I was like, exactly. I get it. That's how a lot of the chargers are. But that one was free, which is weird because you think you'd want them to, like, if you were doing like a free charger in a shopping complex, and the incentive is to get people to come into the stores and buy, and, you know, especially if you're going to be there for a while. On one hand, you're like, if you had a fast charger and it was free, no one would go into the store. They'd be like, I'm going to sit in my car for 10 minutes. I'm going to check some email or Twitter or whatever, and then I'm going to leave. But the slow charger is so slow, going, I could sit here. I can go shop around for 2 hours or eat lunch or whatever, but I'm going to come out and I'm going to get 10 miles, 12 miles of range. If you're doing a free charger with the incentive of people to going and shopping around, you need to get at least 20 to 30 miles of range per hour. Yeah. So if you were walking around for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you were like, all right, I got, you know, 70, 80 miles of range, you know,
well, what 60 they should miles do is like put a fast charger in and say that, you know, hey, if you bring your receipt out and it's got a, you know, one of the readable codes on it, and they could just pass on it, but then it's free. Or you get 30 minutes for free or something like that. Then people come up, plug in, go shop, spend some money, come back, scan, and leave. Next guy'd come in. And I mean,
yeah, and I would put time limit on it. I'd be like, you can't have your car here. Like, have the machine automatically shut off after like a certain amount of time.
You know?
Yeah. You know, you're right. If you could validate like parking, if you could validate a charge, that would be very interesting. That'd be smart.
I mean, that seems like it would make a lot of sense because now, it would incentivize people to come to their store.
Yeah. So out here in California, we have a lot of parking garages and you pay a couple of bucks to park there. Sometimes you can validate that. A lot of places you don't. I'm not like talking like going to the hospital and it's $35 a minute, you know, like, you know, you park for a couple hours, you go eat dinner, you watch a movie, you come out, it's $3. If many of the garages or a few of the garages where you pay to get in has a free charger or a less expensive charger. But if you're just in the open parking lot at like a Target and you plug in, yeah, they're more expensive.
The worst thing is what I've experienced where you pull in and some douchebag is parked in the charging place and you just want to charge your car, you know? And it's like, oh, come on, man. You know, so don't do that. Don't do that.
People do that at my apartment complex. Everybody's waiting for these chargers and, you know, people like rush home to get home early so they can plug their car in. And everyone in that stupid complex has a damn Tesla. So it's just kind of a battle. I mean, if I see the charger available, I'll plug in on it and it's good. But I have a charger here at my warehouse as well. But I know that when I charge here at my warehouse, of course I can do it anytime I want, but it is not inexpensive. I mean, it's far less expensive than going to a public charger. But yes, and I know I've said this before, but any discounts California offers residential for charging, like if you have an EV, you get all these discounts and the rates, they pass that on, those fees, to commercial properties. I have a line item on my bill that literally says I'm paying for all of those residential discounts.
Yeah.
So for me to charge my truck here at my warehouse costs me more money. You know, and I can't install a charger at home because I'm in an apartment complex.
Right. Well, my neighbor, he put an external charger like on a post next to his driveway because he told me he was afraid that if he was charging inside and something happened, it'd burn his house down. And I was thinking if I went out and bought an electric car, what I'm going to do is just get like an extra long cable. And at night when he goes to bed, plug into his, plug my car in, charge.
Mark could do his driveway for a few hours.
No. Our driveways are close enough that I could just run it through the bushes and plug it into my car. And then before he gets up in the morning, have it unplugged. And he'd be like, damn, it's expensive to charge my electric Tesla.
Yeah, the guy's like, I've been in Europe for a month and I still have a huge bill. What's going
on? Exactly, yeah.
What kind of phantom drain is happening on my charger? But yeah, I like the idea of him like putting it out by his mailbox instead of out of his garage.
Well, he's got like a horseshoe driveway and he put it along our hedge line that separates our properties. And
yeah,
it's like I can kind of see the little white post and it's just right there. And it looks like what somebody would hang a hose on or something. That's all it looks like. And he does have a box, a steel box around it. So
he does. Did he bury the cable?
Oh yeah, he had it all professionally done.
I just imagine like some squirrel biting into that thing, just shooting off like a missile, a flaming squirrel come firing through the ground.
Wow, did you hear the news? I mean, this is up in your area, Malibu. Malibu's
gone.
I've
heard of Malibu. It's gone?
Yeah. I heard that Chevrolet said they're getting rid of Malibu. And I didn't know why they had any authority over Malibu Beach, but I think I'm right on this news information here, Matt.
Yeah, no, it sounds about right.
Sound legit?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Okay, good. No, Malibu is finally going away. They've talked about it for a while, and we've seen the Impala drop. We've seen, what was their other sedan? But now they're getting rid of the Malibu, and people are kind of going, what? It was the number one selling vehicle other than the Silverado and the Equinox. And yeah, it's like, when you've got something that just sells all the time, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, wait a minute, it's a small car, doesn't use a lot of fuel, kind of meets all the high mileage standards, and boom, nope, they're shooting it. Putting it out to pasture.
It sells well, but not in Malibu. I don't think anybody in Malibu.
Oh, I bet you there's some Uber drivers in Malibu.
Well, all the Uber drivers out here are driving Teslas. I just sat in a Tesla Uber for an hour yesterday.
They drive Teslas or they drive Honda Accords. And do you know why? Because Tesla did a deal with Uber did a deal with Honda and Tesla to where they could get this like really incredible financing so that they would, that was smart on their part, that you're not getting in some trashy old car. You've got a brand new car, you know, and one that's more reliable as well. The Malibu is one of the oldest nameplates. I mean, remember it back to the 64 Malibu and it's going away. Won't have it. There's a new vehicle coming, another small one. It's basically a retooled replacement for the Chevrolet Bolt. And, it's going to be built in Kansas. And, so bye-bye to the Malibu. It's going away. But speaking of vehicles and like that, I got to ask you, did you see that push-pull van that Citroen has?
I saw a picture of it. I didn't get into it yet. I didn't read up about it.
Okay, so I saw this article and it said, Citroen now has on its website the push-pull van. And I'm like going, push-pull? And it's two cabs bolted back-to-back and what it actually is genius, because they said they were selling so many. Think of all the U-Haul vans, you know, the where there's a van front, but it's a box in the back, or Winnebago or any camper or any kind of flatbed delivery that uses a van front. Well, they said they were shipping these van cabs. The companies were basically cutting them in half, building everything from the back. So what they started doing for transport was just bolting them back to back and saying, if you're just going to throw that away anyway, we'll bolt them back to back. Each one has everything you need. And when it transports, it takes no more room than the one single chassis. And, you know, that's one of those kind of rethinking and saying, hey, we're saving money with the stuff they throw away. They're saving money on transport. And, but when they're bolted together for transport, they do look kind of goofy. You see, yeah. You know, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of, I like, it goes back to Henry Ford and all the innovative things that he didn't personally come up with, but tasked all of his employees to come up with. And things like one of the most famous ones that I remember is in the old days, the Model A's, Model T's, they had, you know, they couldn't roll steel like they can now. And the roofs, as we know in hot rods and like that, had like almost a 4x8 sheet of plywood because, you know, the roof was open and had spines across. They'd put a piece of plywood up there and then cover it in vinyl. Well, he told the crate company that was shipping him some stuff, and I don't even remember what parts they were, like rear ends or something like that, that he said, the crates have to be this exact size. And they were like, well, why do they have to, they have to be that size. And then he would have the guys take the crates apart, and that was the wood for the roofs. So he basically got the roof wood for free, you know, and it was pretty smart because he said the top and bottom of every crate was enough to do two cars. And so he always had enough wood, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That kind of stuff is just, I love it. I love it. You know, it's awesome.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Matt, why don't we take a quick break? Come right back. Can we do that?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's next?
We're just getting used to this.
This is what we're doing. We're getting used to having
advertising
show now. So. We're trying to cut ads back into the show now. And who knows? We just forget to do it.
Did you see the F1 testing for what they're trying to do so they can race in the rain?
I have not seen that.
It's quite interesting. My phone is going crazy right now. So what they're doing is like carbon fiber fenders. It's the best way to do it. The best way to explain it. They're trying to find out something that they can bolt on. At first, when I saw wheel wraps, I thought, what are they doing? They're wrapping the tires or what? No, they're actually testing different types of fenders, some with vents in them, some that are full, some that are only on the rears. And basically, the photos I saw were quite interesting because if you've ever seen open wheel race cars racing in the water, the guy behind can't even see because there is so much water being thrown up that it's like driving in the fog. Yeah. So they're trying to bring that down. And they said with some of the tests that they've done and like that, they have brought the water vapor down tremendously to where they'd be able to race, you know, put rain tires on and race even when the track has a tremendous amount of water on it. And it's kind of interesting, you know, if you're really into F1, do a little search on that rain fender testing. They call it rain wraps.
It's funny because this, you think the idea of this is to make it safer to race in the rain,
right? But
the way I really see this is a financial thing.
Oh, sure. Because they don't want to have people go home.
Yeah, they don't want people to go home. If you have to delay the race or postpone or something, it's a huge financial hit, right? But if you could stop all this rain coming off the back of the cars and increase the visibility of people on the track, I mean, sure, there's hydroplaning and stuff like that they, you know, they need to look into, but people have been racing in the rain for a long time anyway.
What are you worried about traction for?
So it's just, yeah. So it's just, they're like, hey, listen, we're going to get the audience out there to sit in the rain. We might as well get the cars,
we can get team
on the track as well.
We can get team emblazoned, umbrella sales up 75% if we keep the audience there. So we can make another $1 million every race on just umbrella sales. So it's definitely that. You nailed it. You nailed it. Hey, you know, Indy 500's coming up.
I heard that.
You know, it's every year, same time of year.
Yeah, which is convenient.
It is.
I like the Indy 500. I'm looking forward to the Indy 500.
Why is that?
I like it. I like watching the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
I got to drive around the track once. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
Yeah. 1980, the Carcraft Street Machine Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was if you entered a car, you got to drive around the track. And so they gave you a time slot because they didn't want everybody to show up at the same time. And Charlotte and I were there in her we had a bright red Monza 2+2 that was slammed down on centerline wheels, and that was it. Nothing else. It was a little six banger in there, but it looked awesome. And so we go over. They stage you on the infield, and then they bring like a pace car, and the pace car would take 10 cars at a time, and you got to go one lap. Then you came around, got to a second lap, and then you'd follow them into the pits, and the next group would come out. And so I strategically set myself as the last car to go out and in my group of 10, and I acted dumb. I sat there, and I said, oh, I'm with this group, so that I could... Because they limited you to like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, yeah, go catch him. And I let him get about like a football length. And then I zoomed on and I got to go fast. That was my little strategic method. But
now wait, what were you driving?
Charlotte's 1980 Monza 2+2 lowered with center lines on it.
Yeah, okay.
And it was cool looking little car. And man, I'll tell you, I had watched the Indy 500 how many times growing up. Till you're on that track, you don't realize how banked those turns really are. I mean, you're driving and you are sideways. And when you're not going, you know, when you're only going like 40, 45 miles an hour, you feel like, am I going to slide down? You know, I mean, it's crazy. But it was cool. It was really cool to get to drive the track.
I didn't drive on the track, but we debuted a documentary, a film in Indy around the Indy 500 that weekend a few years back, and we were invited to the opening ceremonies on the track with the teams up on the bricks basically, and it's it's cool to be from that perspective, to be there to see all that. And just when you're standing in the middle like that, up on the track on the starting line, looking at the grandstands and just how many people are there. It's just, it's crazy.
I know. It's,
this is pre-COVID too. So
now, were you at the race that predated the Indy 500?
No, I'm not that old.
Oh, I thought maybe you had gotten there. It was the Kobe Cup. And I guess it was a little before your time, 1909.
Yeah, it's a little before.
You know what's amazing? It was when you hear it was 150 years ago. I mean, that's like, that seems, they had cars. I mean, they now here's a little trivia. Do you know why the photos from back in that turn of the century time, even the Indy 500, why the cars, the tires always look oval in the photos?
I don't know why they look oval.
Something I learned in photography class, which was, the shutter speeds were so slow back then that the car actually moved maybe an inch or two before the shutter, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gone. So the tires look like they're oval shaped. And it's, you know, it's kind of one of those weird little things. You always see them, and it gave it kind of a sense of speed. But yeah, it's pretty amazing when you look at this article. You checked it out, didn't you? The article.
I did, and I was looking at the map of the race course.
Pretty
it's
cool. So
it's cool, but like everything has 90-degree corners in it. It's like a rectangle, and it's like you hit like a 5.7 mile straightaway, and then you have like a 90-degree turn. They have a 7 mile straightaway, 7.1 mile straightaway, and then there's a 90-degree turn. And I get they're not going quite that fast, but fast enough that, you know, well, the issue is like, who cares if there's no brakes or barely any brakes? Like, what do you do? You got a 90-degree turn coming off. I wonder how many people just fly off.
Did what? 78 miles an hour on the straightaways. So they weren't going, you know, considering the tires and the suspension technology, that was, you know.
And they did some cool things. Like, they built grandstands, and then they built like a wooden bridge so people can stand over the track. Yeah, and when you look at the old photos of it, it's cool. It's kind of interesting to see. But the grandstands they built were huge.
Yeah, they were. They what'd they say? How many linear feet they used? And but unfortunately, they only had a handful of people that actually showed up and bought tickets, and that's why there wasn't a second COVID.
It was a 23.37 mile course.
Yes. And what was amazing was that it was some Chicago industrialist who wanted to put this on originally in Chicago, but they couldn't put together a course because there were too many railroad tracks around Chicago, and they couldn't have a course that went over railroad tracks, which, you know, think about it back then. So he moved it up to Indiana and made a deal with the state of Indiana, the article reads, that he would do road improvements for the state so that he could do this course. And it's really a great article to look back at. Haggerty put it together. And it's pretty amazing, Matt, to look at this, because they said – they built these gigantic grandstands, as you pointed out, the footbridges. They had press boxes. They made catering with 400,000 sandwiches, so people wouldn't be hungry watching the 4 hours of racing.
Yeah,
and nobody showed up.
Yeah, it's like 50,000 people showed up. They were expecting so many people.
Yeah, but you know why? Because the people all said, well, the course is 23 miles long. We can just get a picnic lunch and go out on the course and watch the race. Because otherwise, they were just seeing them go by the straightaway.
And it was $2 a ticket.
Which was equivalent to what back in 1909?
It's about $65 today.
Yeah. I mean, that was a lot for people to spend back then. A lot. I mean, in 1909.
A lot now. But Yeah, I guess tickets to things are expensive now.
Yeah, a lot more than that.
They had, I think the grandstands alone, like along the straight, would seat 10,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
It was 400,000 feet of lumber.
400,000. And they said they used keg nails. How many keg nails? It was some ridiculous amount.
59 kegs of nails. But they said it cost them $10,000 to build those grandstands.
Think how much that was. That was so much money. I mean, if $2 was the equivalent of $65,000, that was a $650,000. That was $1.2 million, almost $1.2 million for the grandstand.
Yeah.
Compare it. A $2 ticket for the car races, because I think I read somewhere in the article that Taylor Swift was charging like $15 for a concert ticket back then. So, and the scalpers were getting like $25.
Right. But she handed out sandwiches as well. So that
yes. The actual name of the race was the Western Stock Chassis Races. And there were two classes. There was a 232-mile course or length that was the Indiana Trophy, and that was for cars with 300 cubic inches or less, and then 300 cubic inches or more was the Cobe Cup, and that was a 396-mile race. And but it never came back because they didn't have the people they needed, and they spent a bundle. Then another one came up, and it was called the Indy 500, and they contained the people. See, they got the clue. They had to for what these guys spent, they probably could have built a stadium and done it just like the Indy 500 course.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah.
Tried.
Yeah. Well, do you want to end the show on something controversial?
Might as well.
What about aftermarket doomsday?
I don't know anything about that.
You don't? No, I've been watching. I always watch things from a business standpoint. And, how many of your, and this is just a generic question. How many of your contacts that you've had at Holley are still there? Are all of them there?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're seeing that, and this is just my business observation, and I thought it was only me, but I started seeing as people were being given their walking papers, there's posts from people online. We all know that Holley has been buying up companies left and right. They own Detroit Speed, they own Bear Brakes, they own, I mean, just go on and on.
MST.
What is it, 102 companies or 105 companies they own now in the aftermarket? But what I am concerned about, and this is just my observation, Brad Fanshaw's concern, is that the enthusiasts that built those companies are being pushed out. And I see it, for those of you who are on LinkedIn social media, which is the business social media, I constantly see that they put up, hey, we're glad to welcome so-and-so, and I'm not going to name any names, I'm not going to name any companies, but there was someone hired recently that they got rid of someone who had been in his position for 26 years, was very knowledgeable, I knew the guy myself, and now they put in a guy, and I looked at his background, and he came from healthcare and insurance. But it seems like the investment bankers are putting in a lot of MBAs, Masters of Business Administration, and getting rid of a lot of our core audience. And I say this for two reasons, because they are a huge corporation that is trouncing smaller companies, a lot of mom and pop owned companies that we all rely on. And it's also people that have helped build these companies that are now being pushed out. So draw your own conclusions, do your own research, I say, but we need to support. I have no particular agenda. I don't own any stock in Holly. I don't have anything against them or anything like that, other than we need to make sure that our hobbyist level stays effective in the industry, because we want to be able to see our hobby grow and the people, because that's where the innovation comes from, everyone. You know, because if they start rounding all the edges, we're not going to have the edgy parts that we need and the innovation that we need. So yeah, do a little research, check it out, and draw your own conclusions. But we do not want an aftermarket's doomsday, because if they gobble up too much, there's nothing left for us to bite into.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That editorial was by Brad Fanchai, and it's the viewpoints and thoughts and are not the management of Shift and Steer. So seriously though, as I said, it's, I'm not drawing any conclusions, not bashing anybody. It's just an observation, and I've seen it pop up by some of the previous employees and stuff, and I'm just bringing it so that everyone can draw their own conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah. Good
words,
point.
Don't sue me. So, but no, it's just one of those things. We need to, we've seen so much growth and so much innovation in the automotive aftermarket. Let's keep that going. Keep people motivated. I think that's about it, man. I got to get over to my factory, as a matter of fact, and make sure that wheels are getting done. Matt, did you have anything else?
No.
No.
No. So I dropped my car off over at Ray's shop, Full Throttle Customs. I said hi to Ray. And
your new Mustang?
Yeah, he's going to dial in that turbo kit a little bit more, just to tune on it, since we never really got a chance to get it all fully dialed in after SEMA a while back. So it runs fine. I just think there's a little bit more power there. So let him have it, and we'll check in with him in a week or so.
Hey, did you ever hear from the guy who bought your white Mustang?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a nice guy. We've chatted.
Send any photos and like, oh man, I'm happy. And
he's very happy with it. He sent me a couple pictures of his garage. He's got a nice Fox Body collection, actually.
Oh, cool. What part of the country is he in?
He's in Texas.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So
it's good. Yeah, I'm glad he's got it. It's good.
Well, you know what? It's like anything. You want it to have a good home. So
yeah.
And then you never want to see it again, because it's like, it's not mine anymore. So, but
yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
I know. All right. Hey, everybody. Follow us at shiftandsteer.com. And hey, we love your comments. We want to hear. And, you know, please, as we've said many, many times, go to Apple and give us a rating, 5 stars, and subscribe, because that still helps us. We got to have numbers, and we got to have numbers we can show. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors. And Matt, have you subscribed yet?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm an avid subscriber.
Good.
All I do is subscribe.
I'm a rabid subscriber. So, all right, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week. We'll hear stories of Aaron's adventures through the hills. That's a promise, not a threat.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.